and a supplication on Wednesdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate, praise belongs to Allah who appointed the night to be a garment, and sleep for a rest, and day he appointed for a rising. To thee belongs praise, for thou roused me from my sleep. And hadst thou willed, thou wouldst have made it everlasting, an everlasting praise that will never be cut off, and whose number the creatures will never count. O Allah, to thee belongs praise, for thou created, then proportioned, and ordained, and decreed, and gave death, and bestowed life, and made sick, and healed, and made well, and afflicted, and sat upon the throne, and encompassed the kingdom. I supplicate thee with the supplication of one whose mediation is weak, whose stratagems have been cut off, whose term has drawn near, whose expectation from this world has shrunk, whose neediness for thy mercy has intensified, whose remorse for his neglect has become great, whose slips and stumbles have become many, and whose repentance is devoted sincerely to thy face. So bless Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, and his household, the good, the pure. And provide me with the intercessions of Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, and deprive me not of his companionship. Surely thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, decree for me on Wednesday four things. Induce me to be strong in obedience to thee, to be joyful in worshipping thee, to be desirous of thy reward, and to abstain from that which would make incumbent upon me thy painful punishment. Thou art gentle to whom thou wilt.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Almighty. Dear brothers, dear sisters, ladies and gentlemen, salam and so welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Our topic for this episode is the secrets of Hajj. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Today, Tuesday, is the 5th of Zilhijjah, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 14th of Tir, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 5th of July, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's bless this moment by recitation of chapter Al-Hajj, verse 26.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. وَإِذْ بَوَّأْنَا لِإِبْرَاهِيمَ مَكَانَ الْبَيْتِ أَلَّا تُشْرِكْ بِي شَيْئًا وَطَهِّرْ بَيْتِيَ لِلطَّائِفِينَ وَالْقَائِمِينَ وَالرُّكَّعِ السُّجُودِ
And mention, O Muhammad, when we designated for Abraham the site of the house, saying, Do not associate anything with me, and purify my house for those who perform dawah, and those who stand in prayer, and those who bow and prostrate.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
In fact, Prophet Abraham, peace be upon him, was ordered to make clean the house of Kaaba and its surroundings from any apparent and spiritual pollutions, in order that the servants of Allah would not think of any but Allah in that pure place, and they could perform the most important worship of that land, that is, circumambulation and prayer in a circumstance free from any kind of pollution.
لبيك يا رب الأمم قد لفنا ثوب الندم بالدمع كم فاض الحرم نشكو الخطايا واللمم لا يشتكى إلا إليك
لبيك واغفر للذنوب لبيك ها إني أتوب أصلحني من كل العيوب وامر فؤادي بالطيوب ليفوز بالعرض عليك
يا رب الأمم قد
What is the secrets of Hajj? Literally, Hajj refers to the intention of visiting a place. The Holy Quran transfers the meaning of Hajj from its lexical general meaning to a traditionally specific meaning to denote the annual pilgrimage to the Holy Kaaba in Mecca. One of the religious duties of Islam. The great annual gathering called Hajj is the collection of rites and ceremonies offered by Muslims who are bound to carry out religious duties in a specific place and during a specific time set by Islam, similar to the way the Prophet did. Hajj is so called because the Muslim who performs it goes to Mecca and Sacred House at the start Dhul-Hijjah, the 11th month of the Muslim calendar, and visits other sacred places like Arafat, Mina, to offer his devotions. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bi nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with some secrets or some important aspects of the Hajj. Another one in this regard is that pilgrimage is a kind of intellectual and thoughtful migration. And this kind of intellectual or thoughtful migration is because people come to leave their homelands, their homes, and go on pilgrimage, on long-distance pilgrimage, on long-distance, trips and travels to a faraway land, and in this case, particularly Mecca and Medina. Now, we find that when people leave their homelands and embark on going to a very sacred place, usually they come to think about the type of deeds and procedures and religious obligations that they are expected to perform. Now we find that this kind of thinking and this kind of, deliberation, reflection, such kind of religious practices makes everybody think about the religious duties one is expected to perform. Such kind of reflection can rarely come to anybody when someone lives in his or her homeland, or for example at home. Well, at home we offer our religious prayers, our religious duties. However, when we take a trip to a pilgrimage place, we come to the point that, okay, because of the sacredness and sanctity of the pilgrimage place and pilgrimage space, we are expected to think more about it. And this holds true to a greater degree in the case of Hajj in Mecca. And this is because the Holy Kaaba in the city of Mecca is the place toward which all people stand in the time of prayer. And when people go to Mecca and they view the Kaaba in front of them, right, I mean, without any barrier, they stand in front of the Kaaba in order to perform the rituals and the Salat, they understand that, okay, after several years of standing toward Kaaba, now they've reached the same destination and the same place. So they are expected to be much more careful about the religious duties.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every bar.
Today's a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end.
In the footsteps of the father of the prophets, Abraham. Ismail joyfully plays around Zamzam in the land of the divine messages, soon to rebuild in this very land with his father, the Kaaba, to which the hearts of the monotheists have always longed for, a place visited by its lovers. Year pass and Abraham returns to meet Ismail, to write a new chapter of the history of faith on the sacred land. He, with the aid of his son, embarks on the building of a house for worship. He continues the construction. He raises the foundations of the house. Little by little, the house, symbolic of monotheism in the heart of barren Arabia, is built. The Kaaba is raised where the souls circumambulate around it. Quran, Chapter 22, verse 26. And when we assign to Abraham the place of the house, saying, "Do not associate with me out and purify my house for those who make the circuit and stand to pray and bow and prostrate themselves."
شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك لبيك.
Thank you very much for joining us. This is today's special, and now the continuation of this program. We learn about one lesson to take home from Hajj, that is, rid yourself of vices. In the Holy Quran, in chapter 2, verse 197, Allah the Almighty says, "The pilgrimage is performed in the well-known month. So whoever determines the performance of the pilgrimage therein, there shall be no intercourse, nor wickedness, nor quarreling amongst one another." Chapter 2 of the Holy Quran, verse 197. It is quite remarkable that of the 25th forbidden acts in the state of Ihram, two of the three mentioned in the Holy Quran are actually haram beyond the Ihram period. Wickedness, including the use of foul and abusive language, and quarreling. These are also two of the most difficult acts to refrain from, especially during the Hajj, where millions of pilgrims with different languages and cultural norms are picked from all corners of the world, and placed together in a hot and barren land. Once the skills of restraint have been learned and all other vices thrown back at the shaitan in the form of pebbles. The challenge is to start afresh on the pilgrim's return to normal society.
So anything which is related to the Hajj becomes a symbol of respect and veneration that as believers we have to show respect towards, which again is a connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in the Quran, in chapter number 5, which is Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse number 2, Allah says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe. He says, violate not the sanctity of the symbols of Allah, nor of the sacred month, nor of the animals brought for sacrifice, nor the garlands that mark out such animals, nor the people resorting to the sacred house, seeking of the bounty and good pleasure of their Lord. And then he goes on to talk about how you're allowed to hunt and fish and kill prey after the time of the out of your ihram, and that's a different issue. But just the beginning part of the verse shows us that the sanctity, the hurmat, the sanctity of the symbols of Allah are not only restricted to the Kaaba, to the physical structure. Anything related to Hajj becomes a symbol of Allah that has to be respected. No matter what ideology they follow, no matter what their name is, whatever background these people come from, as long as you made the intention for Hajj and you're there, you become a sign of Allah. And to disrespect a sign of Allah is a disrespect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. And the Quran shows that that is not only tantamount to a sin, but you're showing that you have no taqwa of Allah. You don't have that level of awareness and consciousness of Allah within your lives.
Brothers and sisters, thank you very much for joining us. That was all for today's special. Inshallah, we continue this interesting topic about this nice, precious journey that is Hajj. We leave you in Allah's protection and have a nice time. Fi amanillah.
Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. Labbaik la sharika laka labbaik. إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك لبيك حجا حقا
الله أكبر الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله.
Food for thought.
Esteemed listeners, today we present you in our Food for Thought an interesting aphorism of the Prophet's first infallible successor, the Commander of the Faithful, and the leader of the pious, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace upon him. He says, Acquire wisdom and truth from whoever you can, because even an apostate can have them. But unless they are passed over to a faithful Muslim and become part of wisdom and truth that he possesses, they have a confused existence in the minds of apostates.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a very beautiful hadith, which is narrated from the Holy Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This hadith is about a concept, which is a Quranic concept, a very intrinsic and very essential a concept to Islam, and that is the idea that the knowledge of God, as well as the inclination towards God, is something natural and something essential, something innate to man. One might almost say that man's nature is theomorphic, if one could use such a word. This concept is based in the Quran. For example, there's a famous verse in the Holy Quran which says, "So set your heart on the religion as a people of pure faith, the origination of God, according to which he originated mankind." So God here simultaneously talks about religion. In the first part of this verse, in the second part of the verse, he talks about human nature, right? So a lot of Quranic commentators have kind of equated the two with one another, religion or deen and fitrat. So this theme, this concept, Quranic concept and theme, has been echoed in a lot of the prophetic traditions, as well as the traditions which have been narrated from our A'imma alayhim as-salam. One of these traditions is a tradition which has been narrated from the Prophet. The Prophet said the following: every newborn is born upon the origination of God. كل مولود يولد على الفطرة. Every newborn is born upon and born with this natural inclination towards God. The Prophet kind of expanded on this by saying, meaning, he's born with inner knowledge that affirms that God is his creator, and this is the meaning of his words. If you ask them who created the heavens and the earth, they will say God. So in this tradition is interesting because in this tradition, the Prophet says that this nature, the divine nature or natural religion, is a reference to the knowledge of God Almighty, right? This inner knowledge. Now, there's a big discussion in Islamic theology with respect to what exactly this knowledge is. What is the nature of this knowledge? Is it a kind of acquired knowledge in the sense of a proposition which is embedded within human nature that affirms God exists and is his creator? Or no, this is a kind of intuitive and presential and direct knowledge, not a knowledge via concepts and propositions and meanings and these kind of things. Right? But we don't want to get into these theological and philosophical discussions. Obviously, this is something which should be discussed in its own place. But nevertheless, this tradition is important in the sense that it affirms this concept of religion, or at least the knowledge of God being a natural to man. And this is interesting because it's contrary to a lot of the beliefs of the other religions, right, which kind of understand human beings as being naturally deviant and evil and beings which only can be saved by means of an external cause, that being, for example, the acceptance of, like in the case of Christianity, the sacrifice of Christ and so on and so forth. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the natural and innate nature of man as a believer in God in the words of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hussain Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسانك ودعوتك ربي بقرآنك.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وأجل فرجهم.
Respected brothers and sisters, welcome back. Inshallah, we'll continue our previous topics. We were like doing some examples on Tanween and Noon Saakin while we are applying like the rule izhar, right? So some examples we made for for Nun Saakin, and one example for Tanween. What was the example? abdan idha salla. So abdan, the word abdan ends with tanween fatha, right? Sayyiduhullah?
Yes.
Abdan. So the word that comes after abdan starts with hamza. Abdan idha. So we have tanween plus throat letters, izhar letters, yes?
Yes.
So should we apply the rule izhar?
Yes.
What does it mean?
Clearly pronounce.
Clearly say the tanween sound.
Yes.
Fawad, do it. Abdan idha. How do you say it?
Abdan idha.
Abdan idha.
Abdan idha.
Okay, there is no changes to the sound of the noon, yes? Tanween, noon sakin sound. Abdan idha salla. Abdan idha, no changes to sound. Next example, in Suratul Qadr, okay, the last ayah, salamun
hiya
hatta matla'il fajr. Okay, salamun ends with
noon
sound. Tanween.
Kasra.
Salamun. Tanween dhamma. Next letter.
Hiya.
Is it a throat letter or no?
Yes.
Okay. The same rule. Izhar. Salamun hiya. Do not stay there. Salamun hiya. No. Do not stay there. Do not prolong the sound. Do not produce a ghunna sound. Sound. Okay. Nasal sound. Salamun hiya. No. Noon must be noon. Noon sound, okay?
Yes.
Salamun hiya hatta matla'il fajr. Next one. For example, we have yawma idhin. Yawma idhin. Tanween?
Kasra.
Alayha. Starts with?
Ayn.
So tanween kasra plus?
Ayn.
The same rule.
So no rule.
For example, the word yawma idhin alayha. Yawma idhin, tanween kasra, right? Yawma idhin, tanween kasra. Alayha starts with
ayn.
Ayn. Ilha, right?
Yes.
Yawma idhin alayha. Okay? So, alhamdulillah, you learned it now. It's very easy. So, we will go to Surah An-Nazi'at. We'll go through Surah An-Nazi'at, inshallah, and recite the verses. Let's see if we find any example for Izhar. Inshallah, we'll apply it, okay? Ready?
Yes.
Okay. Let's recite a salawat and go and start.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad
wa'ajjil farajah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
Okay, we were on Ayah 26, I think. Ayah 26, the preface session. We had recited like up to Ayah 25. Now, today, inshallah, Ayah 26 of Surah An-Nazi'at, chapter 30 of the Quran, page 584. So, Ayah 26.
Inna fi thalika la'ibratan liman yakhsha. Inna fi dhalika la'ibratan liman yakhsha.
Ahsan. So do we have the first thing when you recite the Quran, if you want to apply the rules, okay, izhar, iqlab, idgham, ikhfa, you have to look at the ayah, search for tanween or nun sakin. That's the first thing you should do. Search for
tanween or nun sakin.
You should look for tanween or nun sakin. When you find tanween or nun sakin, the second step, next step is to look at the next letter that comes after tanween or nun sakin. So when you looked at the next letter, so either that letter is a throat letter That letter is the iqlab letters, okay? That letter is the idgham letters, okay? Or the ikhfa letters, okay?
Yes.
So, the third step is to apply the rule. Easy. So, first step,
find
look for
tanween or nun sakin.
Second step, look at the
next letter
that comes after tanween or nun sakin. Then the third step,
apply it
based on the group of the letter, okay?
Yes.
If it is a throat letters, idhar. If it is like, for example, yarmalun letters that we'll study, idgham. If it is like ba, iqlab. If it is none of them, ikhfa.
Simple as that.
Piece of a kego, yes?
Yeah.
Okay. So, now in this ayah, in fi dhalika la'ibaratan liman yakhsha. Do we have any nun sakin or tanwin?
Yes.
La'ibaratan. So, tanwin.
And
first, we found tanwin, right?
Yes.
Second step, look at the next letter.
Lam.
Is it from the throat letter?
No.
We don't talk about it now, okay? We'll talk about it next.
Yes.
So, we don't apply rule idhar. Whatever rule we apply, but not idhar. So, we're talking about idhar. So, liman.
Yakhsha.
Yakhsha. Nun sakin. The next letter?
Yeah.
Yeah is not throat letter. So,
it's
we don't pay attention to it now, okay? Next ayah. So in this ayah we do not have any idhar rule.
One question.
Yeah.
In the inna.
Mm-hmm.
What are noon?
Noon is again not throat letter.
No, that
in. Yeah, we have noon is akin in.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Na. Then always.
Fi.
Yeah, we studied one rule. Yes.
Tashdid.
Noon or mim mushaddad.
Yes.
You remember?
Yeah.
Noon
or
mim mushaddad. Yeah, we like produce a ghunna sound. In. That is the idgham rule, actually, okay?
Yeah.
Yes.
Two noon are merged together, okay?
Yes.
In. So. That is idgham, that's not idhar. That's good question, okay? But good answer.
قَلْبٌ بِالْحَقِّ تَعَلَّقْ وَبِغَارِحِ رَاءَ تَأَلَّقْ يَبْكِي يَسْأَلُ خَالِقَهُ فأتاه الوحي فأشرق اقرأ اقرأ.
Let's recite the Quran.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
Next ayah, listen up.
أأنتم أشد خلقا أم السماء بناها.
أأنتم أشد خلقا أم السماء بناها.
أحسن okay. أأنتم look, I'm reading okay slowly, so find the tanwin or nun sakin, then I will come back and ask you.
أأنتم أشد خلقا أم السماء بناها.
Do we have any tanwin or nun sakin?
Yes.
Where is the tanwin?
Khalqan.
Do you have any nun sakin?
No, the tanwin.
Antum. So let's go. Antum is first. So nun sakin we have. What is after nun sakin? Antum.
Ta.
Is it a throat letter?
No.
So we'll talk about it later, okay?
Yes.
Ashaddu khalqan.
Yes.
Tanween.
Yes.
What comes after tanween?
Hamza.
Amis sama, right?
Yes.
Khalqan. Remember that always after tanween, fatha, there is an alif, okay? Not with the letter ta, the marbuta ta, okay? The circle ta.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yep.
Or hamza. Sometimes after hamza as well, we have alif, but sometimes we do not have. But the rest of the letters, yes, we have an alif, okay? With tanween fatha. Why? Because. Why do you know why we have an alif after tanwin fatha always?
To stretch the sound.
No.
Uh-huh. Yeah, alif is just to stretch the sound. But how should we stretch the sound of tanwin? We studied in level 2. No. We studied in level 2 that we need to stop at a word having tanwin fatha. The tanwin fatha is changed to alif maddi.
Wow.
For example, here you stop at khalqan.
أَأَنْتُمْ أَشَدُّ خَلْقًا.
That's why alif is there.
Oh,
it says that if you stop here, change the tanwin to alif.
Uh-huh. So if you stop, why don't we put خَلَّقًا?
خلق ق that because it has a noon sound. That's the rule. That's the way Arab speakers okay do. خلق.
If this was the stop of the words, we should just say خلق.
خلق.
So you're stopping.
No,
me.
خلق has another meaning. خلقا has another meaning. They have one exact meaning, the same meaning.
But
okay?
If we stop Bad, here, the meaning will usages. Change.
Different usages they have. Look, for example, خلق becomes like in another usage. Okay, according to grammar, خلقا or خلقا in another usage.
So if we stop in middle of an ayah without reaching the end of it, will the it will still change the meaning of the word? So how do we understand?
Yeah, it changes, okay, sometimes. That's why we say that you always should not, you should not stop at any word that you want, okay?
Yes.
Yeah, that's why we have the rules of how to stop, okay?
Yes.
Where to stop.
Yes.
Yeah, the
yes.
stop signs we have. We studied at level 2. So, أَأَنْتُمْ أَشَدُّ خَلْقًا أَمِ السَّمَاءِ So we do not have In antum, we do not have the idhar rule, but khalqan tanween, then
hamza.
Through letter or no?
Yes.
So the rule idhar must be applied. Read it, Sayyid Ali Nasir. Let me see how do you apply the rule idhar here. Listen up, everyone.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Antum ashaddu khalqan amis samaa'u banaha.
أحسن خلقاً أم السماء exactly that's correct خلقاً أم السماء that's nice okay so he didn't change it to any other sound like خلقاً أم السماء or he didn't stretch the sound خلقاً أم السماء no أأنتم أشد خلقاً أم السماء خَلْقًا أَمِ السَّمَاءِ Sometimes some reciters, okay, they say this way. أَأَنْتُمْ أَشَدُّ خَلْقًا أَمِ السَّمَاءِ خَلْقًا أَمِ السَّمَاءِ They put the fatha on the top of the tanween. Instead of tanween, noon, sakin, okay? They say the tanween. Make a noon with fatha, okay?
Are they allowed to do this?
Yeah, based on some qira'at, yeah, it is allowed. They are allowed. We have 7 types of qira'at based on one of the qira'at. Yeah, it is correct. So we have one example of idhar here. Yes?
Yes.
Thanks to IRIB English Radio and also Sevier International Schools. But first and foremost, thanks to Allah Almighty. So let's recite a salawat. We'll be back, inshallah.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa ajil faraja.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Sevier International Schools.
صفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
Ocean of Dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين
Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned.
Ya man bada'a khalqi wa dhikri wa tarbiyati wa birri wa taghdiyati habni libtida'i karamak wa salifi birrika bi ya ilahi wa sayyidi wa rabbi أتراك معذبي بنارك بعد توحيدك وبعد من طوى علي قلبي من معرفتك ولهج به لساني من ذكرك واعتقده ضميري من حبك وبعد صدق اعترافي ودعائي خاضع
Brothers and sisters, we have reached this excerpt of the Kumail supplication. Hayhat, anta akramu min an tudayya man rabbayta. Far be it from you. You are more generous than that. You will not torture him whom you have nurtured. Aw tub'id man adnayta. You will not banish him whom you have brought up. You will not drive away him you have given an abode. أو تشرد من أويته. You are not going to submit him to tribulation whom you have spared and shown mercy. أو تسلم إلى البلاء من كفيته ورحمته. This part is a kind of manifestation of the divine mercies. From the very beginning of creation of humankind until his death, the Almighty puts him under two kinds of training, material and spiritual. The kind of material training is fulfilled by a wide variety of blessings. Human beings use all different blessings, either by their own will, such as the blessings of eating, drinking, breathing, etc., or unintentionally by Allah's will, such as mechanisms for absorbing the chemicals in human body, such as providing all the body organs with these necessary materials. How these materials from the fruits, from the foods are being attracted to the body? How are they absorbed? Human beings are not consciously aware of that. But it is being done. And this is only one aspect of the blessings we're not aware of. And this is what is mentioned in the different verses of the Holy Quran. We'll be back with one instance of it after a short break.
Oh my God, my Master, my Lord, and my Nourisher, will you see me punished with the fire kindled by you, despite my belief in your unity, and despite the fact that my heart has been filled with knowledge of you, and when my tongue has repeatedly praised you, and my conscience has acknowledged your love, and despite my sincere confessions and my humble begging submissively made to your divinity. No, indeed you are far too kind and generous to destroy one you nourished and supported, or to drive away from yourself one you have kept under your protection.
Thank you, Allah, God let me hear, feeling so good about all the things that we went through, knowing that God is pleased with us too. It's not a dream, this is so true, and we know we'll be here forever. The feeling is indescribable, knowing that this is our reward.
The ocean of dua.
So we said that different trainings are happening in the world, material and spiritual training. And material training is fulfilled by different blessings of the Almighty Allah. Sometimes they're intentional, sometimes they're unintentional. And this is what is briefly mentioned in chapter Yunus of the Holy Quran. This verse of chapter Yunus says, قُلْ مَنْ يَرْزُقُكُمْ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Say, who gives you sustenance from the heaven and the earth? أَمَّنْ يَمْلِكُ السَّمْعَ وَالْأَبْصَارِ. Or who controls the hearing and the sight? وَمَنْ يُخْرِجُ الْحَيَّ مِنَ الْمَيِّتِ وَيُخْرِجُ الْمَيِّتَ مِنَ الْحَيِّ. And who brings forth the living from the dead and brings forth the dead from the living? وَمَنْ يُدَبِّرُ الْأَمْرِ. Who regulates the affairs? فَسَيَقُولُونَ اللَّهِ. Then they will say Allah. فَقُلْ أَفَلَا تَتَّقُونَ. Say then, will you not then guard against evil? So the blessings of the Lord in our lives are different. We are, for example, unable to analyze even a single organ of the body. We cannot understand all its details. We are not able to appreciate only one organ of our body as a blessing, let alone all the body organs and their order, their interrelationships, as well as their relations to outer factors. This is the kind of Lord that we have to appreciate. Allah the Exalted reveals His love to His servants by showering upon them His blessings so that they might love Him. Indeed, the bounties showered upon the heedful and intelligent hearts are only effective in endearing Allah to them. This is a very interesting point, since in his famous supplication at dawn, Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam says, O Allah, you show your love toward us through your bounties, and we return you with sins. The good from you constantly descends upon us, while the evil from us ascends to you. The honored angel has always been and is still bringing you the news of our ugly deeds, but that has not prevented you from continuing to embrace us with your blessings and to kindly provide us with your bounties. Glory be to you. How clement are you, and how great you are, and how kind you are as the beginner of the creation and the eventual claimer of it. Because the true way of thanking Almighty Allah for these blessings is to use them all in their order, in what the Almighty Allah and the infallible Imams, the Prophets, have recommended us to do. So overall, we are unable to imagine what is going on in the wonderful system of creation, and our bodies, one of them. In the next episode, we will, God willing, mention only one aspect of the wonderful system of human body, just in order to imagine the greatness of Almighty Allah's mercy. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for staying with us in this episode. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also, visit our website at parstoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
I need you by my side. I wish to be close to you through all my life. Ya Allah, oh Allah, be with me all the way.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
The Gate of Knowledge. Exegesis and interpretations of the supremely eloquent sermons, letters, and sayings of the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him.
You're listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitani rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wassalatu wassalamu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin. Dear listeners to IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I welcome you all to this episode of The Gate of Knowledge, where we are discussing about the topic of the Charter of Islamic Covenants based on the teachings of Imam Ali alayhi salam in Nahjul Balagha. And we were contemplating on the 16th sermon of Imam Ali alayhi salam in this powerful book called Nahjul Balagha, where he explains about the program that he had and the strategy that he had regarding the governance he had in mind over the Muslim community. And we were discussing about the fact that Imam Ali alayhi salam was very concerned about the way the community was progressing and what was required as a program and as a strategy, as an important strategy in his government. And one of the most important things was that Imam Ali alayhi salam was reminding the people that they are in dire need to contemplate about the previous generations and the lessons learned from the previous generations and apply them in the present situation and see how their present situation is and analyze it in a way that they can perform the right actions so that they should not fall into the traps of the previous nations. And this was his concern, and therefore he brought about a program that would save the community to